Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm Larry Haberty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. I have the pleasure of talking to you about the man you're about to listen to, Doc Stanley, the legendary Doc Stanley. I always say before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. When you listen to Doc Stanley, you have to appreciate the knowledge, the connection. When he's at the ballpark during baseball, he's around the water cooler talking to the athletes. When he's at the basketball games, he's in the locker room talking to players, talking to general managers, talking to front office personnel to bring you the insight why people make the decisions they make. When he's on the ice skating rink, he's talking to some of the few African-American, African-Canadian, African players who are on the ice right now making a difference. You are listening to Doc Stanley on Sports and Death.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Card Data Network. And we sports show here on Tuesday, comments of a Monday morning quarterback looking back, and just simply looking back. We're pulling again, like kind of summer madness in the background. And wow, it's maddening to think how quick summer has gone away. Today, in New York City, the Big Apple. Capital of the world, El Mundo, but it's falling as the World Series time is nearing and season ending in baseball comes to a close. Basketball and football are just starting to start. And without further ado, as we always do, we open Sports and Depth on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Center Network, JohnColtrane.com, dear Lord, to open, give homage to prayer to the woman. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. More importantly, Lord, we just want to thank you for blessing that have come. You'll come, all in right. Lord, we thank you again for little things that we so largely take for granted. And let your way be our way, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to give us some of what we want, what we need, and we hope. What we need is also what we want. What we want is your way to be our. What we want is you to always be our one and only God. We want your desires. We thank you for the honor of Jesus that down the course that we may have the right to live life. We ask you blessings, all the blessings, in the name of your darling son Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Just taking a look back with me on Tuesday. Hey, brother, and Alvarez hyped so high, the young, strong, hungry Mexicano against the sweet, slick experience, Marin. And once again, was Floyd, pretty boy Floyd, money, big brother, the matador, extraordinaire. In a fight that was boring, a fight that was dull, a fight that was sleep on, Mayweather. One going away once again and fighting for the first time in a long time, twice in 1 year, the best fighter pound for pound in the world of this record. It is the move on after that tornado on Saturday, a challenge in the ranks of the three sides. Floyd, Pretty Boy Mayweather, won again. And Alvarez looked amateurish. Alvarez looked befuddled. Admittedly said, you know, I just couldn't catch him. It had long had been talked that Alvarez had not really fought any boxers of quality. And we have to get the great man Borgman, the greatest boxing mind of our time. And I had said that Trout would not only be the first real test for him, but I had felt that that Trout had pulled that fight off. I mean, they judged that fight like it was a knockout instead of a knockdown. At worst, Trout should have got a draw. And you saw in that fight, Alvarez took rounds off, showed some better defense than what I thought he had. But no way, shape, form, stretch of imagination did he really win that fight clear cut. I saw a draw. In fact, I saw Trout pulling that fight out. But at worst, a draw, which didn't happen. But the fight that really made the night on Tuesday was the fight that everybody was clamoring about, the fight that everybody was talking about. Danny Garcia out of Philly fighting the Argentine strongman Matuste, who had six straight knockouts in a career that showed only two losses and all his wins being via the three times KO. Garcia comes to that fight 8-1 underdog. He's a champ, 8-1 underdog. And consensus was by all that the fight would not go the distance. Matuste would knock him out, or Danny, who hits just as hard and maybe harder than Matuste, according to our Boricua on Boxing Latin Sportscast with Gilberto June Ortiz. And that was my thinking, that Matuste would underestimate the punching power of Garcia or just throw caution to the wind, and bam. But my thinking, too, was that if they turned to a boxing match, that's what happened. The fight turned into a boxing match, that Danny Garcia would outbox Matuste, as Garcia definitely was the superior boxer between the two. And that's what happened. Along with the fact that Matuste landed his shot and Garcia took him. And that was just where Matuste was sort of surprised and didn't have an ultimate plan. Here's a guy who's hit people with those same shots for the last six fights, and they went down. Went down. And this time, Garcia was standing there working the jab, working the body, taking the punches. What a great fight. A fight that validated him as an elite fighter. You have to now, because so much was the talk, well, you know, he'd be the old Morales. He'd be the passive prime to that, due to who, if he had three more rounds, would have beat him. It validated him as an elite fighter, and it validated his dad as an elite coach. People just said so much that Angel was nothing but a guy that talked a lot of trash and then laid back after talking a lot of yang-yang, and Danny had to do all the fight. Well, part of the fight, he slapped Danny in the corner. They talked about it afterwards on the air, and Danny said, you know, Danny, but my dad, I was slapped in the back. Whatever it was a victory for the Garcias as a family, as a whole. And, you know, Hoopster, it was that was an exciting fight.
I hit something.
Yeah, well, evidently, I hope you hear better than Rooney sees, because we haven't been able to catch it with Rooney yet. You know,
come out wherever you are. Come out wherever you are. It's over. Come take your punishment. You hear the show. Man. You come out wherever you are.
Well, you know, I got to also try to catch you with Harold.
I know he was pissed off.
Well, no, I tell you what, Harold.
Well, he picked that guy to win.
Yeah, he said he liked him. He liked him.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Talk highly of him. Yes, he did. But can I ask you a personal question?
Go ahead.
I'm going to ask you a question. I want the nation to call in if they want any questions. To give them the number, Doc, so they want to call in and ask about the fight.
646-200-0373.
646-200-0373. Yeah, I want to know what
you know what happens here, Hoopster. Doc Stanley Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and Guard Network at Sports Church. We got the Hoopster here talking round ball, talking sweet science. 646-200-0373.
646-200-0373. And Lady A said the same thing, Doc. She told me that what was wrong with the man's corner.
Well, you know, what happens is it's what Gary Shaw said about a month ago, that most of these corners are just cheerleaders. And with the demise, the loss of Emmanuel Stewart, we have Buddy McGirt and Freddie Roach, who has
the great Angelo Dundee. Can't forget him either.
I'm saying that's the point I'm making.
Oh, yeah.
With these guys gone, there are other greats. I mean, today you have Buddy McGirt, you have Nassim Richardson, and you also have Freddie Roach. Now, I was talking to him last night.
You think he's a good trainer? I don't think he's all right to me.
Well, I think, you know, it's a tremendous point you make, Hoopster. Freddie Roach is living off reputation. And
so he had Mike, and that's what built him up. We had Mike.
Well, you know, no, well, Freddie was with Eddie Futch. He started with Futch, but the thing is.
Futch, yeah, that's who he was.
But, the thing is, right. Somebody last night was talking about Nassim Richardson, and he made the comment that Nassim was more of, in fact, one of the trainers. I should tell you, I didn't have him during the show, so he had the, what the last 50 Cent had a card, the first fight card ever at the Resorts Casino right out there in the Aqueduct Racetrack. 50 Cent with Lou DiBella. I want to thank my good buddy Kevin Mooney, and we'll have those results for you as we continue on here today. If not, we'll definitely have them for you in the ensuing show. Good little card out there at the Resorts. The first time they had a fight card out there, and 50 Cent did a great job. 50 had a combination of a fight card and a rap show, and all during the fight, doing different interludes, rap artists came up, and it was really a well-done thing, entertaining night. One of the upsets was undefeated kid from Chi-Town, from Detroit. Not Chi-Town, from Detroit. I have the program here, and beat the former two-time Golden Glove champion, his first pro debut. Got them in the first round, got them in the fourth round. Bam, that was the fight right there. And then the fight was closed out for the kid from Cincinnati, who did a job. His record was 6-0. The guy he fought was 10-10 with 5 draws. But like I said, I'm out of the studio. That's the paper was out of the studio. And he just did a tremendous job. Even though he did lose, I just was really taken back by his professionalism and his ability in the ring, cut off, did some things. But the fight and... I don't know if Mr. NFL 401 got a chance to see it. It was one-sided fight. It was a boring fight.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Mayweather,
I don't think it was a boring fight. I think it was pure Mayweather showcase. It goes to show you. I mean, he's like lightning fast.
Can you repeat that segment, please, so everybody can hear? So the Swami can hear you.
Right now, there's two things I want y'all to know. I want y'all to hear this. As of Saturday, there has been no sightings of the Swami.
Wait a minute. What? What?
No,
call 911. Are you serious?
There's been no sightings of the Swami. Well, listen,
well, you better track him down. We want him. No, we want the Swami. Want the Swami.
But I still think that it was a good fight. Carnello, I think he's going to be a good fighter as he goes along. But he was just outmatched and outboxed.
He was outmatched.
Two things here. Two things.
He was outmatched. Mayweather,
a little fighter. He looked like an amateur in there against Mayweather. It was capital letters. B-O-R, it was a boring fight. It was one-sided.
It was entertaining.
I said over the show before, experience will get you. Experience.
Well, you know who wants to fight him now, right?
It depends.
Who
want to
fight him?
On experience.
Who's that, C-Wings?
It's a couple of people lined up, but Who beat Thundercloud? I can never remember his name. Who beat Thundercloud at the Barclays for his belt? Tavoris Cloud. The oldest
Hopkins
wants to fight him. Yeah, he said he'll come down. It was in SI.com, SportsIllustrated.com, and he said in order to be the champion, you have to be good at chess.
That is, you know what a monkey thrown in the wrench.
Monkey? Where's the monkey on the back?
Wow.
Are you serious?
Let me close out on this real quick. Fight was a boring fight, one-sided fight. Albert looked like an amateur. Mayweather won every round. I mean, if you like to fight, then you must be a guy that likes ketchup drip out the bottle. It was the first time I've seen Mayweather start off a fight aggressively. I throws up on it. The problem, too, with this fight, if you saw the Garcia-Matusse fight, definitely it was nowhere near the excitement that fight. Danny Garcia, we take our hats off here to Danny Garcia here. The consensus was the fight was going to be a fight that nobody was going to go the distance. The consensus is 8-1, and this shows you how much the bookies know. Garcia was the underdog and the champion. But I had long said that Danny had the punch power, and also take a hats off to Gilberto, June, Buck, Ortiz, our sports in-depth Latin sportscast on Broken Up Boxing. And he said that Garcia had really hit harder than Matusse. And,
yes, he did.
I said,
congratulate him.
No, Matusse, you know what was good about Matusse? He punishment.
Let me just hold tight. Hold tight. Just back off here. Yeah, hey, football's your thing. Just back off. Don't you know? Since you ain't got nothing to say about the Jets, just back off on the pot.
Hey, and my Steelers too. Don't feel bad. He ain't the only one. So don't get on him. He get on me too. Don't leave him hanging now. I'm 0-2 now. Also, so
I can take some
responsibility too, Doc, on this show.
You know what,
okay.
You know something, ladies and gentlemen. This is why, you know, the great line that King, you know, I hope that one day that my children will be judged by the content of their character and not by the color skin. And this is what makes sports. Besides the fact that we give you an in-depth look and perspective at sports, you know, as well as the sports and the athletes, and with the diverse intellect of this posse, I've always said, what's in depth turns out into the world. I mean, here is a friend, here's a colleague, an expert who said, hey, well, hold on now, you know, I got to share some blame. I read something the other day, you know, mistakes can be forgiven if they're admitted. And it takes a man to stand up and you know, who says, hey, man, you know, my Steelers aren't doing well, the Jets aren't doing well. I told you, you know, these people don't even know sports, but know so many things in life. My saying on the Canelo Alvarez Mayweather fight, just too one-sided. Anytime a guy loses every round, there's nothing exciting about that. The Matusse fight, I want to take my hats off to Danny Garcia and his dad. The knock on his dad was that his dad wasn't the right trainer for him. The knock on his dad was that his dad talks too much and had left him doing all the fighting. The knock on his dad was that, you know, he got to get him out of his corner. Well, Saturday night, they proved everybody wrong. And Brian Adams last night at the great card that 50 Cent had out at the resort, him and Lou DiBella, said something that, you know, you need his father's corner because he listens to his dad. And last Saturday night, he worked the jab. He worked the body. He moved inside. He moved outside. He smothered him. And Angel, him and his dad Angel, had the plan. And Danny Garcia on Saturday night proved to be one of the elite fighters in the game today, because the talk was he'd be the old Eric Morales. The talk was that he'd be a Zab that was past his prime. Well, there's no more talk to be made. He beat Matusse, closed his eye, and then took his best punches and then threw down with him in the closing minutes of the fight. Philadelphia fighter, he's proud of that. He thanked God. He thanked the support of his fans. We here at Sports and Depth take our hats off to Danny Garcia, and it was
congratulations, great fight.
Gilberto Junbo Ortiz, Sports in Depth, working on boxing, Latin sportscaster, said that Danny was a harder hitter, and he said,
he'd
like Danny to win. And
yes,
I told everybody, if it turned into, I said, no, Danny could knock out Matusse, and what happened Saturday night, it was a fight that turned into a boxing match, and Danny Garcia, without question, was a superior boxer. And, you know, validated my statement there. But more importantly, what him and his dad did with that game plan, They just said, I gotta get back to Gilberto and see what he says on that. But that game plan.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely get him on the show. Definitely, well pointed out.
But not only did he listen to his father. Remember, his father slapped him across the face. I think it was between round 5 and 6. And he said, "Yeah, my ear is still red from that." So, not only did he take a pounding in the ring, his daddy gave him a good old fashioned slap, like "Wake up, Dad! Wake up, Daddy!"
What is that Block Talk Radio on the Touch and Go? And we're looking back over the weekend. Big fights, as you know, no surprise. Mayweather over Alvarez. Danny Garcia, the surprise of something not to us, was a big fight. Yeah, he jumped into the sweepstakes. But the thing that you hear here, you don't hear anyplace else first. Okay? You heard. It was Cincinnati Sea Wings, a.k.a. Mr. 411, who told us way back about what Obama did with the bad guy, Bin Laden. And now, today, the talk is out. Mayweather and Bernard Hopkins. Let me tell you something. That fight.
I see something.
we ain't seen him yet. But no,
mirror on the wall, who the greatest of all time is.
We all Swami. And so let's talk football. Last night, you know, Hoopster and Cincinnati Street and talk to Cincinnati. Yeah, Cincinnati Wings is a team that they always lose one or two games they shouldn't lose. Opening game they shouldn't lose. They come around to beat Pittsburgh last night. A big, big win and a timely win, number one. Number two, is their coach on the hot seat?
No.
I think definitely Marvin Lewis. You mean Pittsburgh.
He's not on the hot seat,
so.
No.
I don't think so. I mean, you
know. Like I said earlier on the show, they had needed the line. They had,
you're
talking about the Jets or the Steelers, Doc?
No, he's talking about the Steelers. Lewis. I'm talking about Lewis. I mean, you know, he's been there a while. I think outside of Andy Reid, he has the longest tenure of any coach in the NFL. Am I correct?
Longest serving tenure coach.
So,
I definitely think Marvin Lewis is on the hot seat. How hot it is, I don't know, but I think that he has to make the playoffs
to keep
his job. I think they will win the division just based on the they'll win the division. I believe that Pittsburgh will finish last in their division.
I know you've been drinking now.
I think they're going to finish. I think they're going to finish last in their division.
I picked them and the Chiefs as wild cards. That's my pick. The Chiefs, you heard on Sports and Death, the Steelers and the Chiefs will be wild cards.
Wow.
I think they're going to finish last in their division, the Steelers. They have a lot of injuries.
I know. That boy.
Mm-hmm.
We got you coming up soon, right?
Yeah, we play them next month, I believe. We definitely play them before the bye. We play Buffalo next week, who pulled out a win. Definitely, we played them before. The Jets played them before they play.
It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting with both of their records alike when they do meet here. And the Steelers, for any, I don't know, you could pick a thousand reasons, but they always seem to be able to beat the Jets. And that could be just a very pivotal game in who goes up and who goes down. I mean,
it could be for last place.
Well, it could be, but I don't think so. I think the next 2 weeks, you know, the Jets should be 2-0, and Buffalo should make the 3-0.
Definitely should have beaten New England. They played I was talking to Sea Wings. They played a hell of a game. The defense played great.
The defense was outstanding,
man. Brady was frustrated, screaming at the receivers. He had frustrated.
The thing you have to look at is that, and somebody made a tremendous point, you know, you got to look at the offensive coordinator. And once again, you know, we talk so much about Schottenheimer, but, you know, there were things that should have been done. You look at the Jets. I mean, you just can't shut out Tom Brady for a second half of a football game and not come away with a W. You know what I mean? You just can't do that. But as I've always said, there was a key play in the first quarter. Receiver dropped the ball. So they said he didn't catch the ball, didn't fumble the ball, gave the ball back to New England. That really turned the game around as you look back at it, because had the Jets gotten the ball there, they get 6 points and a touchdown, right. or at worst, get a field goal, which means on that last drive, they're not looking for the end zone, they're looking in the field goal range. So they can win a game 16-13. And it's just amazing how some of these calls always happen to work for the right team. But that was a pivotal call. And
yes, it was.
It gave New England the ball back. And as we look back at it, right there could have been the big difference. And, I mean, you have to set up to keep the field goal, and the Jets winning. But you look at some
of the losses of the other teams. I mean, the Giants, they got blown out 41-23. Jacksonville, who's by far a disaster this year, they were beaten by the lowly Oakland Raiders 19-9. Seattle, they walloped San Francisco
29-3.
That's something else.
But it was a 25-minute.
What was the final score on that one?
29-3.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle over San Francisco.
They had a lot of delays though with that thundering. They delayed the game 25 minutes.
I think they broke a record too of being the loudest stadium.
Oh, they are.
They broke a record.
It was so loud. Michelle Point for the announcer had used cue cards.
Wow!
See, I used cue cards. It was so loud.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you hear things here that your jokes just don't hear anyplace else. It's cue cards. That's really really amazing.
She used cue cards. It was so loud out there.
But you know, I remember in the Giants game going to the locker room talking to the Denver Broncos. And Sanders talked about how being on the road, that mindset of us against the world, and you just talked about it too, Wings, and you too, Oopsa, about, you know, how the hometown crowd with the noise is such a distraction to the offense and defensive units of the teams that are coming in to visit. And you talked about right there with the cue cards, and it just – you know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing sometimes the little things that can make a big difference. And in a case like this, you know, the crowd can be a tremendous factor. But as we noticed though, you know, Peyton Manning way ahead of the game. You know, he's got hand signals. You know, he'll stop and go and whisper something into the center's ear. Always. Sanders said that he is by far the best quarterback in the game today. And some people are saying, the best ever. And sometimes, you know, don't get a little carried away, but he's definitely, I've long said he's the best quarterback in the game because he's the only real quarterback in the game. He comes out there, he calls his own plays, he makes his own audibles, he doesn't have 100 plays on his own. Pittsburgh.
But one thing I can say about him, though, he still got to get to the Super Bowl, though, man.
He's a choke artist in the postseason, but he's the only quarterback I've ever seen tell the coach when he played for the Indianapolis Colts, he told Dungy that on fourth down, no, I'm going to stay out here and I'm going to handle it. I've never seen any coach, including Brady, be able to tell the coach that, you know. So it just goes to show you, I think he's the best in the game. He reads the defenses, he could be in the huddle.
Evidently, you never saw Joe Milley Doc play, baby. Joe Milley telling
him, hey,
coach.
Hey, you're a baseball player.
No question. He's the best out there today. I've long said this. I said this. But you know what's amazing here, too, gentlemen, is the fact that a couple of years ago, there was all the advice, he shouldn't play anymore. It's a dangerous injury. He's going to kill himself. And now, all that talk has evaporated. He's still
strong
playing.
I mean,
for all intents and purposes, you know, he should still be in Indianapolis. It's amazing how that whole organization turned their back on him. Amazing.
It looked like he never had the neck surgery neither. It looked like he had nothing wrong with him.
Every time he played, it looked like
he's getting stronger and stronger, man.
We have to understand it's a business.
Wait. Say that one more time. We have to understand what?
I said, look like the way he's playing, look like he's getting stronger and stronger. It looks like nothing wrong with him.
Well, no. I'm just talking. Right. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, what Wing said is so true. You know, and it's amazing how the owners want you to show loyalty and sympathy toward them, and yet they see you as strictly business. You know, they can't understand why you take that kind of mindset. And what you're saying now, Cincinnati Seawings, that's the mindset that they always have. It's strictly business. And it's just amazing that when the players do something that's beneficial for them or make a decision that's a business-like decision, well, you know, where's the loyalty? You know, where's the love of the game? Sign the check, and I'll show you all the love that you need. Tremendous point made right there. Now, gentlemen, we're going to run along here. We're talking about the Jets. We're talking about Pittsburgh. The big game last night was Cincinnati. You know, that division, the Eastern Division, is better than the Giants fan, 0-2. Washington's 0-2. Dallas is, and Philadelphia's 1-1. You know, either one of those teams, Philadelphia or Dallas, had a chance with a 2-0 lead to kind of really early Cincinnati series within the fold to run away with the division. But right now, that division, as you had predicted, is going to be tight, it's going to be close. Do you still see Washington winning it, though?
I don't. It's too early to tell. I think that RG3 has to get his, I think it's more of stumbling block that he's dealing with now. I don't think it has to do with Russ not playing in the preseason. It's just especially when you take a injury such as injury on the knees. I mean, your knees is basically to, you know, a quarterback, that's your bread and butter. I mean, that's, you have to be able to move because everyone is after you. It's not like anyone's coming after the linemen. They're trying to get past them to get to you. So I think that they'll turn this around. As far as winning the division, it's too early to tell right now. I mean, I'm not sold on the Cowboys being at the top of their division. That's not going to last too long. The Eagles, we have to see how long Michael Vick is going to stay healthy with this fast-run offense that they're running now. You know, as we know, he still doesn't have that protection on the offensive line like they should have, a quarterback like himself. So there's a lot of factors involved, and the Giants are known to turn things around. You know, they start off bad, and then they, you know, start winning in the second half, or they do well in the first half and then sputter in the second half. So.
Hold on. Okay, here's two things here. Does Brandon Jacobs bring anything to the Giants?
It's how healthy he's going to be.
That's the question.
You know, is health wise.
Okay. We're going by if he's healthy. If he's healthy, is he a plus to the Giants?
I think he can contribute. Yeah, yes, he still has gas in the tank.
Hey! Don't nobody move. Another fucker. Don't say another word because we got about 15 minutes left. You're going to bring us into Sports Destination. And ladies and gentlemen, Barney has been found. He's not hiding in Tijuana, Mexico. Ladies and gentlemen, bring us into Sports Destination, the Swanee himself, Mel Cosell Smith Jr.
Never run, never hide because the Sports Destination is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network. The straw that stirs the drink is here, and that is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rudy. And we're doing a short version. We've got about another commitment. Rudy, we've been looking for you. Before we get to the main event, how surprised were you at Garcia winning against Matusse? I mean, it wasn't a surprise to me, but, I mean, he just fought the fight of his career.
Yeah, Doc, I got to say, big ups to I didn't think he had it in the Doc. I thought that after two or three rounds of Matusse-type battle would be more than enough. But I have to give him big ups, Doc. He went toe-to-toe when necessary. It was a bona fide war, And he's the real deal. He's the real McCoy, Doc. He is the real McCoy. I never thought he'd be able to stand up to the absolute aggression and a stone-cold will of Matusse that no one else, except for two times, basically gotten robbed, has been able to stand up to. But I do have to say that Garcia, he came to fight, he came to win, and he fought with the heart of a champion. Now, as for the main event, I hear the heat. I knew the heat was on the way. In all honesty, the guy's the best there is in our era right now. Great defensive fighter, smart, slick. Just the best there is in our era. Does he beat the other guys in the other eras? No, but you can only fight the guys that they put in front of you. Speaking of Carmelo Anthony, however, I thought he was going to have a bit of a different fight plan. I thought he was going to go to the body more. I thought he was going to cut off the ring better than he did. He didn't seem to have a clue. There was no adjustments during the course of his fight. His corner meant nothing. I had him fighting actually an entirely different fight. I thought he was going to concentrate on the body from the beginning. That way we had to chase Royd all the way on the place for the later round. But as it turns out, he seemed very, very one-dimensional. I mean, like the great Hal Weston has said on his show, Doc and Panel, the thing with the shoulder, man, and the rolling with the punches and the use of the shoulder is nothing new. I mean, they've been doing that back before the days of Emil Griffin family. That style is not new. I mean, Brown is trying to bite off the style, and a bunch of other guys are trying to use his shoulder, but the style really is nothing new. But
no.
Floyd has a way of using it where others can't seem to take advantage of it, so big ups to him. The guy's a true champion, the best in our era.
I can't believe you said that.
The truth is the truth. I got to give him big ups.
We'll just talk about this
right
corner. What's wrong with that corner? What's wrong with his corner?
Right now, he is the best. At least the best defensive fighter of our era.
Not talking about
going
your man's corner there.
Does he beat Ray Leonard? No. Does he beat Tommy Hearns? No. Does he beat Duran? No.
No.
His era, this era right here in this particular time, he's the best there is.
Yeah. From strictly a defensive standpoint of view, and it was the first fight I've seen in a long time that he started off with some aggression. Actually, the fight was a boring fight. I those up. Harold's here. Harold, you know, you saw the fight. Your impressions of the Mayweather Alvarez fight. It was just a pro against an amateur. And I, as we look back, you know, I said I thought Trout and the great man working with me. I thought Trout won that fight against him. At least got a draw. But Trout was the first fighter of any merit that he really fought. And you know, if that fight is not in Mexico, he doesn't win that fight. And he knocked Trout down. You know, I mean, they knocked Trout down. Actually, he knocked Trout out. But, you know, Trout got jobbed on that fight. But, you know, that just told you right there he wasn't going to be able to do anything with Mayweather unless he had a corner. And the only guy who had a corner, I'll tell you what, I take my hat off to both Matusse's corner and to Danny Garcia's corner, because his dad finally got the props that people never gave him in the past. And Matusse's corner, man, they said, look, no, let's forget the inswell. And they went back to the old way, and they kept his eye open. And that's why he was able to go 12 rounds. But, you know, Carmelo's corner reminded me of Trinidad's corner against Winky Wright, that, you know, the fighter didn't have a clue, the trainer didn't have a clue, but nobody had a clue on what to do with Mayweather. I mean, that was the first time they'd ever seen Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight. In the words of Howard Weston.
That's exactly what I said, discussing that fight by chat. I'm like, did they watch any tape of the guy? Did they watch any film of Floyd? I mean, you thought that was the first time, like you said, that they ever saw a style and never saw a fight. Did they make any adjustments throughout the fight?
Nothing.
They didn't do anything to try
but
to
But he's frustrated. He
game?
Frustrated Alvarez. That's the problem. And he worked on him mentally after that.
And plus, he was going to the ropes. Why he was going to the ropes for?
Well, here's the bottom line. Harold, you here? Harold, you with us, Harold?
Yes.
Harold, come on in, Harold. I mean, the fight was just a validation of what you, Dusty, Lady A, myself, you know, nobody had a clue. I mean, he didn't have a clue, Harold, his corner didn't have a clue. I mean, nobody knew what to do.
Yeah, well, I just feel that, you know, the guy, I think the guy got a little hypnotized by the lights and everything. And the other thing that I feel is that, you know, just sitting there looking at Mayweather, waiting for him to do something, the stupidest thing in the world. I thought the kid
would be a little bit aggressive. Thank you, Al. I've been saying that all week. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
I thought the kid would be a little bit aggressive, but the kid, he just stood there and just watched him. You know, it was like being amazed at the fact that he was in the ring. And like I told you guys before a long time ago, that when you go into that different stage of in boxing or any stage in entertainment, the lights are much brighter. It's just a different world when you go on the big stage. And so I just think that he just got overwhelmed himself and just stood there and couldn't even do nothing, because for his statement to say that Mayweather was fast, I mean, I haven't seen fast fighters. That what Mayweather was doing was not fast. I mean, you know, he was doing lateral movements and everything else, but it wasn't fast. Ismael Laguna was fast. I mean, I didn't see fast guys that can really move and move their hands and move their bodies. But to me, you know, I give him credit. Yeah, he's the best fighter of today's time, because really ain't nobody out there anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's right.
You want to give it to him, go ahead. I mean, you know, you're running around here with a lot of imitation fighters, and they all should be locked up for being calling themselves fighters.
Right.
So that's the
Al, I mentioned your name before you came on, right quick, Al. Because I said Al already told us that rolling with the punches and the thing that with his shoulder, that Brown and everybody's trying to copy, is nothing new. I said Al said that goes back older than Emil Griffith and you know the old time greats.
Emil Griffith was split today by Ring 8. Well, you know, the thing is, because we're going to close this down, we're going to short the. Yeah, the thing here too, Al, and you said that it's the big lights. It's the big state. You said that whole. I remember Larry Bird, talking to the great Larry Bird, who has a birthday, saying that our great Mel Smith Jr. here, LK Mel Cosell. The Larry Bird said, you know, players didn't understand what it meant getting to the championship round. Forget playing a game, getting there. And you redundantly said this, Harold, about the fact of it's different now. Okay, you're fighting for the title. It's not the Intercontinental title. It's not the NABF. You're fighting for the title. And now the five guys that cover you in East Orange, New Jersey, they ain't there. You got the media. And all these things now, as you talk about, Harold, played into it. Alvarez, you know, the one thing that Mayan Brogdon said that he put Durant number one in the big four, him, Ray, Tommy, and Hagler, because he beat Ray at his best. He said, and Durant, you know, was further away from him. Durant didn't care where he fought. Hey, bring the lights. You know, there are certain guys who can handle the lights, who can handle the big time. Ray Leonard, Durant, Ali. I don't know if Marvin could handle it as well. I don't think Tommy could handle it as well as Ali, as Durant, as you, Harold, as Ray Leonard. There are certain guys who can handle prime time. And I think Alvarez showed us on Saturday night, gentlemen, for all intents and purposes, he's not a prime time fighter.
He was certainly outclassed, Doc. He really was certainly outclassed. No question about it.
He was out of the fight in the first round when Mayweather was hitting him with that jab. So as soon as Mayweather hit him with a couple of combinations of that jab, the left jab, he seemed to be stunned.
Lost.
He seemed to be lost. He became disoriented, like, oh, wow, did he just hit me? Was that a hit? That's the way that I looked at it.
How you would have fought him, Hal?
How would I have fought him?
You in his corner.
I'd have put pressure on him and definitely would have aimed more at his body and his
right.
Head.
Right, wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's what I say here, you know, and these guys – Yeah, I love them. Yeah, these guys are family, yeah. But the genes, did you hear what Howell said? The body. I mean, and you know, it's amazing. I'm befuddled. Not really, because I know you're. That here you are, Harold, 1,000 miles away. You, Lady A, the Hoopster, Rooney, you know, you're thousands miles away, and you can see what these people who are right there can't see.
Yeah.
You can see what these people who are paid to see this can't see. You can see what people who are supposed to know this game can't see. How it was just as easy as 1, 2, 3. The fans in front of you. Why are you shooting for his head and not his body, Harold?
Well, Doc, that's the fight that I thought that he was going to fight, Doc. I thought he was going to work the body early to kind of slow him down
right.
and kind of make
right.
him fight a little bit more. That's the fight I thought he was going to fight.
Hey, Hal, how come he was getting on the rope so much? Why didn't he put him in the middle of the ring?
The fact is that, I mean, that's his whole thing. I mean, you saw the kid just stay, you know, he just stayed there. I mean, it's, you know, it was one of the stupidest fights I ever seen a person
yep,
come in
yep,
to try to win a championship. You know what the problem is? I mean, it's not even about the championship. It's about pride. And it's about, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to whip
mm-hmm.
you behind, and you're supposed to be the baddest dude in the world, and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to whip you out. I mean, when I fought Hedgman Lewis, that was the biggest moment of my life because
mm-hmm.
who Hedgman was. And how
yeah.
everybody praised him as being one of the best boxing people. And he was. And I had this opportunity.
They were calling him
fighter.
The uncrowned welterweight champion.
Yeah, he was.
Tell him
and
how he was, Al. Tell us
and
wait a minute,
fellas. And that was, they were calling him that. Now he ain't even turned pro yet. He ain't even turned pro.
Oh, God.
Oh, my
God. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, hey, man, you know, every time I listen to you guys from and. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to take these shows and tape them. And did you hear what Hamilton said? The man wasn't even a pro. He was crowned the uncrowned world. And I remember because it was the great Sidney Gatley Jr. who graduated from NYSS with me broadcasting school, the first producer of the John Sterling Show when John Sterling was WMCA Radio. And I remember the first time I saw Hedgman, in fact, I hadn't seen him, Harold, but I heard Sidney say, there goes Hedgman Lewis. The uncrowned welterweight champ. Okay.
He was smooth.
That's right.
He was smooth. It was no joke. I mean,
yeah.
I can put him in the category with Daniel Griffin. He was very
okay.
smooth.
Okay, Harold. Okay, now, just because we got to close you. I want you to tell us what Ryan told him after he fought you. Tell us what he said.
Oh, you mean Ryan O'Neill?
Ryan O'Neill. What did Ryan O'Neill tell Hedgman Lewis? After he fought you.
Oh, he said, I'm congratulating you. He said, I never seen anybody outbox Hedgman Lewis in my whole life like that. He said, and I mean from the amateurs. He said, you're better than anybody I ever seen. And he said, you won the fight tonight. And Hedgman was standing right there when he said it.
Hey, listen. We closing on that. Looney closes out. Hey, leave it on that, baby.
Hey,
Looney,
Doc, before we go real quick. I just want to say on behalf of the Sports in Depth panel, esteemed host, Doc Stanley, we offer our deepest condolences to the families of those innocent victims that were gunned down yesterday in the Washington, D.C. Navy Yard shooting. And also, you see sports and tragedies also intertwined. It was reported that Washington Redskins receiver Josh Morgan who has been in part of tragedies as well or been around them, where he attended Virginia Tech when they had that mass shooting there. And
mm-hmm.
also his mom, who survived yesterday's shooting.
She
was unharmed.
She survived.
She worked there. She also survived the 9/11 attacks when she worked in the Pentagon. So our deepest condolences go out to the families.
Gentlemen, we're going to close. I don't think Harold picked that again. We also, when I went to the Pentagon in 2004, my cousin, Colonel Robert L. Pathe Jr., has been on this show, the first and only African-American member of the JCSU unit in the history of the military, as African-American, American, and military history. They showed us around the Pentagon, and there was a guy's plaque up on the wall. I forgot his name. Let's say who was his last name. And the guy said, this is Mr. Hoover. He was the contractor here. He wasn't here today at the plane crashed into the Pentagon, but he did die on 9/11. He said, now, you're probably wondering, well, why do we have a plaque here for him if he didn't pass away here? He said, well, even though he wasn't here, and had he been here, without question, he'd have been decimated and killed with his colleagues. But check this out, gentlemen. Check this out. The contractor at the Pentagon, who would have died had he been there, he was on the second plane that crashed into the Twin Towers.
Wow.
9/11 was his day. If he had been in the Pentagon. He had been killed with his colleagues, but the fact he was on the second plane that crashed into the Twin Towers. Ladies and gentlemen, Melko Smelts Jr. wants to tell us so long.
Good, Doctor. The Sports In-Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In-Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The straw that stirs the drink has been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Yeah, you gentlemen are the comfortable ones. Larry Hardy has something to click on anybody move. Larry, say this.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in
Depth. And what we want to do real quickly, I want Harold to close it with a call one time. It was happy birthday to Jacqueline and the Freitas, whose birthday is today. As you will be knowing down the way, when she's going to be your travel agent. And also, Elke Ramos on the 15th. I mean, well, once again, my brother James, my son Melvin on the 9th, along with Big Al, who happens to be the NPR man for the Don King. Gloria Gaynor on the 7th, the 8th. Squeeze. The 7th is the birthday of Brazil Independence Day. And also, we have on the 27th, the very short stop I ever saw, done by the name of Fuzzy Edgar L. Bartlett Jr., and he was the best. I've seen the.
Doc, can I say something also?
Go ahead, Uso.
We want to congratulate. The MVP of the Miami Heat, LeBron James, as you know, he got married. So I wish him all the best. And John Legend also got married. So we wish him all the best.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, John Legend just got married, man, with one of my favorites.
You Sports Illustrated model.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Well, yeah, one thing we know, she got a body. She ain't ugly. What are we going to do real quickly? Leave with three thoughts. Leave you like today. And then stand before God tomorrow. Life's most assistant, Dr. King. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Muhammad Ali, service others, keep it in space here on earth. And that great man, Larry Hardy, as you like, live your life today. I say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. And what I want us to close with is, before I bring Marvin Gaye to send us away, I want Carol Weston, I want you to say one more time. And I know what Angelo Dundee told you. We do that on another show. But I want you to say one more time before Marvin Gaye closes the show, I want you to tell us what Ryan O'Neal told you after you fought the uncrowned welterweight champion of the world. What did Ryan O'Neal tell you, Harold?
He said he'd never seen anybody outbox Hedgman Lewis in his whole life. He said, you're a great fighter. He said, and you won the fight. He said, I don't care what them judges said. And Hedgman was standing right there, and, you know, that was a proud moment, you know what I'm saying? And all Hedgman said to me, he said, I want a rematch.
You want a rematch, huh?
You want a rematch.
That was proud of Howard Weston Jr.
But, me and Hedgman are good friends. He's a great fighter.
And, hey, listen, and so was a gentleman by the name of Harold Weston Jr., and we are proud to have you as part of our panel. We're proud to have you as our friend. We're proud to have you here with your expertise. The uncrowned welterweight, the only MSG welterweight champion, the first and only African-American matchmaker in history of MSG, and he's right here with us every week. Double barrel Howard Weston Jr., Mel Cosell Smith Jr., the Hoopster, and Cincinnati Sea Wings. And with that, Harold, could you just say that? One more time, Harold, and then we're going. Please, one more time. Say one, please.
Ryan O'Neal said I was one of the best fights he ever seen fought Hedgman Lewis, and he said he never saw Hedgman Lewis ever being outboxed like that before. And like I said, that was a great moment for me to do that, because like it wasn't even about money. It was about me fighting one of the greatest fighters that everybody felt was the best in the division at the time, and that and I had this opportunity to fight him, and I did what I was supposed to do, and so. That's what I don't understand about these fighters today. I guess there's so much money out there. All they want to do is hurry up and get the money instead of really learn how to fight.
How much did he get paid that fight? $14 million?
Who, me?
No, the other guy. $14 million?
Almost $20 million.
$20 million?
Mm-hmm.
And also, Mayweather, I heard he had more than that. Plus, I heard, and my old job was selling the fight, too, at my old job. Some of the movie deals were showing the fight, too, Doc.
Oh,
yeah,
really? Wow.
My old job was showing it. Yep.
Hey, this ain't about Mayweather. This ain't about Alvarez. This is about Harold Weston.
Oh, Harold's the man. He got a good.
He definitely sees
something. Definitely see something there.
We got a show. Let it. Marvin Gaye's got.
Hey, I'll just call it.
I just
want to
ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world. That's destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world, it fills me with sorrow. Little children today, really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Oh,
what a shame. Such a bad way to live. Oh, who is to blame? We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Live.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Bye.